From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors Asabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God, to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
Hallelujah. All right, let's pray. Father, this morning, thank you so much for bringing us together again on a Sunday morning. We thought it's automatic, but it is not. It's by your grace, by your mercy, it's your compassion. Day after day, things happen. We are so grateful. We're so glad we are alive and we are here. Thank you for this opportunity you have afforded us. I pray that we will not lose it. We will not disrespect it. That, Lord, we will be grateful that our time and our lives are like vapor here on earth, and it can disappear any moment and any time. Speak to us, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, somebody said amen. Amen. You may be seated, please. Thank you very much. In the presence of the Lord. Welcome to church. I'm preaching about the hidden man. I just want to thank God for His protection over my life. I was in Tobago for a conference that Bishop has asked all bishops to have conferences. So I have a conference, Amplify Your Ministry Conference. I was invited to Tobago to preach. I went there, I preached powerfully. And then the morning when I was getting ready to get to the airport to come back home, I discovered when I put my right foot in my right shoe, there was a scorpion in my right shoe. So it did what it could do. I got a sting. And I believe God has been so good to me. To find a scorpion in your right shoe on the first floor of an apartment building. You want to know whether the scorpion has wings. And he knows which shoe he should go inside. And a which foot also. So you see that no matter what the devil tries, we are still more than conquerors, isn't it? Yeah. So I give God the glory for that wonderful testimony. Nice, cute scorpion. It is the second time in my life I've had an encounter with scorpions. I think I was in third form or so. A scorpion also went over my foot. That was very serious because my foot got swollen. I vomited a black substance for a long time. I was admitted at the hospital. So this one was a miracle that right from there, I just went to the health center, took some injection, and then I was on my flight back home. Amen. And my family in Trinidad, they were wondering if I'm okay. I said, oh, me, I'm standing, crying. You know, so God is good all the time. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 3, talking about the hidden man. The hidden man, the man who is hidden. I want to meet the choir and the ushers right after service. Is that okay? The choir and the ushers. Dancers, starts, your turn will come. Is that all right? So just the choir and the ushers. So 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. Bible says that in the same way, you wives accept the authority of your husbands. New Living Translation. Then if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any words. They will be won over by observing your pure and reverent lives. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. You should clothe yourselves instead with a beauty that comes from within. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. Bible says that the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, the unfading beauty, which means that that which is on the outward fades. You can see yourself that after a few years, your face changes. You see, the beauty is not the same. No matter who you are, you either lose your hair or you lose something about you. Your face, you know, you get wrinkles. The fat becomes a bit more. It's not very difficult, easy to manage. You have to wear things to try and make your body look like you don't have fat, but you have a lot of fat. There's so many things that go on as you grow. The Bible says that picture is fadable. It's fadable. The spirit is the man that does not fade. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. So we are talking about the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. So this is our focus as a church and as people of God. Our focus is not on the outward. It's in Guyana that I hear a lot, you rend your heart, not your garment. Rend your heart, not your garment. I hear that a lot in Guyana. But it's not like that. People's hearts are not clean. Yeah, people's hearts are not clean in the church. It's rather their garments. Are you listening to what I'm saying? But as Christians, the Bible says that when you are a Christian, even when you are wise, you don't focus on something that does not last. Yeah, if you are wise, I mean, in this life, if you are wise, you don't feel. That's why even in property or estate, there's something they call real estate. A real estate is something that appreciates in value with time. Unreal is the estates that don't appreciate with time. So, for example, a car and a house, the difference between having a new car and having a new house is that the house appreciates in value with time. A car depreciates in value. If you buy a car today for $7 million, tomorrow it goes back to about $6 million. The moment you sit in a car, you drive it out of the garage, the value goes down. Nobody's going to buy it from you at the price you bought it from the garage. Two minutes, the value has gone down. But if you build a house, in the year 2005, by 2010, if you build it for $30 million, you'll be selling it for about $35 million. So whether it's in Silver Fire, whether it's in Tiger Bay, whether it's wherever you think it's not a good place, values that are real estate appreciates in value. So wise people invest in real estate. People who are not wise invest in unreal estate. And there are many people in this world who are not wise. Otherwise, all of us will be very rich. My fear in driving a Prado or whatever you call it is that it is equal to a house. Yeah. The price is equal to a house. So I may never drive a Prado. Not that I don't deserve it. But if I drive a Prado, I feel like it's a house that I'm driving in. And the house doesn't move. Yeah, because even when you get it, when you get involved in an accident, that's it. Oh, it comes down by 3-4 million. You put your for sale on your car and see how much you get. You'll be surprised. People will give you a price. You say, what? You say, what? No, that's the thing. You didn't know. You have to understand. And that's if you like sell your car, you'll be surprised what you get. They'll look inside, come and look into the engine, look at the tires, will go somewhere and do valuation, all kinds of things they will do. Before you realize, they are giving you peanuts. So when you get the money, you can't buy another car. But if you sell your house, oh boy, you'll get a lot of money. You get a lot of money. So invest in real properties, real estate. Now, when you come into the scriptures, the Bible says that beauty on the outside is not real. Beauty from the inside is what is real. Are you following? Beauty on the outside is not real. It's beauty on the inside that is real. So where are you going to focus your attention? The outside or the inside? The inside. The outside fades. When we say the outside fades, it means that there is an expiry date to the outside.
When you talk about unfading, it means that the inside which is unfading, there is no expiry. The inside does not expire. It means that what you have in you does not die. The Bible calls it a gentle and quiet spirit. So just as you are sitting down, your outside is fadable, your outside is corruptible, but there is a man living in the inside of you called the hidden man of the inward man. You have to understand that. Hallelujah. So in this our evangelism month, we are reminding ourselves of what is real in this life. What is real in this life is something you should not joke with. You don't joke with real things in life. I mean, if you jump from a bridge and you die, you don't try and jump. You have to avoid bridges. So the reality and the seriousness in life is what we must focus on rather than the things that are not real. Are you following what I'm saying? Is your mind here? Are you focusing?
Yeah.
Yes. So Christians are supposed to be wise. The Bible says, it is the fool that says in his heart, there is no God. So if we say there is God, then we are in the church. It means that we are wise people. And wise people focus on things that are real and not on things that are not real. So if I meet somebody and a person says they like me or they love me, it's not just by talking. You must look for real signs. And sometimes you need somebody to help you understand and adjust and analyze what is real. If you want to know the value of a house, you call in a real estate agent. So if you find a girl in a church, you need a man of God to help you understand if the spirit is gentle and quiet. Because you don't know anything about spirits. All you know is the outside. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. They are experts in every area. So that is why it's so important that you don't say, what? That house is what? 5 million? Oh, that's expensive. Because you don't know anything about houses. Oh, what kind of church is that? What was the pastor doing? Because you don't know anything about church. Oh, the economy. Many of you don't even know what the economy is. GDP, gross domestic product. You don't even know what it is. And so when you hear them talking on TV about it, you change the channel to African Moods. Because you don't understand what's going on and you never learn. Yeah. Trump is talking about stock exchange, economy. Many people don't understand what it means. Yeah. Other people are saying that he's a wicked man. He's sending people out of his country. But you don't know what the things that he's doing also. I hope somebody listened to what I'm saying. So I'm saying that we as Christians must stop focusing on things that are not long-lasting. Don't get into a relationship that is not long-lasting. If you get into a relationship that just for 6 months, you are a fool as a Christian. You can't be a Christian, then you're just sexing somebody for just 6 months, and then you move on. There's water in your head. Because a Christian is somebody who's interested in long-lasting things. So that's why when you marry, you don't get out in ideal situations. That's why when you join a church, you don't leave. Because joining a church is not like going to school. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about. So you have to understand the implications of being a Christian. Many of us don't understand that. Implications of being a Christian means that you are somebody who is going to be there. God hasn't changed his mind. You think God has not seen things in the world that he doesn't like? He died for us even before we started misbehaving. So when you come to God, there are certain things you need to have. If you don't have them, you will not last in church. I'm preaching. So, gentle and quiet spirit. So we started talking about, let me give you another scripture. Romans. I'm sure you know the scripture. Thank you. Romans chapter 7, verse 22. You have it? For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. So we have to understand that there's some guy, some girl who lives on the inside of you. Because one day you die, and that guy and that girl that is referred to as you will continue to live. The Lord gave me a revelation a few days ago, and I shared it last night. I don't know how many understood what I was trying to say. There are four realms you live. You are going to live and exist in four realms. This is your third realm. You are going to the last realm, and there you'll be there forever. Did you know that you were before you entered your mother's womb? Yeah, it's a realm. Before you came into your mother's womb, you existed somewhere. Where was Jesus before he came into Mary's womb? He was somewhere. Jesus didn't just start his life from Mary. That's what God told Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, before I knew you. That is why an angel will come and tell John the Baptist's mother and Samson's mother that this guy, this is his life. Oh, he's a Nazarite. So as he's coming here, he's not going to cut his hair. That's where from where he's coming from, that's how he is. So don't put a razor on his head. Don't let him drink wine. That's how he was. We have to come and tell you so that you don't make the mistake by changing his lifestyle when he comes into this realm. So the womb is the second realm you live. 9 months, you don't think of going anywhere. You think you are just there. Until the time your mother says, out. Contractions. Psh, psh, and you come out. And you come into this realm. This is your third and final place. From here, you are going to heaven or hell. So what God gives us is something that it doesn't die. That's the hidden, that's the inner man. And it travels from between these realms until heaven or hell. So where we are going as the final place, we will also not die. I hope you are digesting it. You were before you entered your mother's womb. Yeah, and you lived in your mother's womb. And now you are living here, number three. Number four, you will live. But that's your last place. From there, you are not going anywhere again. Because that's what judgment is going to come. So we have to be very careful how we treat our spirits here now. Did you understand? All right. So the last time I preached, I spoke about there is a hidden man within you, isn't it? Everybody has a man who is hiding within him and who looks just like him. There's a man inside of you who is hiding in there who looks just like you. Yeah. You know why he looks just like you? Because in Luke chapter 16, when they went to heaven, the rich man, Luke chapter 16 and verse 22, that hidden man looks just like you. Just like you, Isaiah. Just like you. And it came to pass, are you here? That the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. In verse 23, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Afterwards, he lifted up. He lifted up his eyes. Hey, okay. He lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off. I don't know why he recognized Abraham. Yeah, from afar. But at least we know that he knew Lazarus when he was on earth. And the Bible says, and Lazarus also in Abraham's bosom, which means that even though Lazarus died and transitioned to the final stage or the final phase or final era of his life, the rich man, knowing Lazarus on earth here, recognized Lazarus in the next realm. Last night in Virginia, I was saying that from the tribe I come from, they believe that when you miscarry, the person comes back. Like if you give birth, or you miscarry. The next time you get pregnant and the baby comes or dies, it's the same baby going and coming. My forefathers believe in that. And they have tried it. And some of them have proven it. And sometimes when children are born and they die, they mark them. They put a mark on their hand. The next pregnancy comes, whether it's a boy or a girl, with a mark. Yeah? Have you heard some before? Because they want to go into why this boy or this girl cannot stay. Or what kind of trick he's playing on us. If he wants to come, let him come. If he don't want to come, let him go. So when he comes 1 month and he dies, then they mark his hand. Then the next child comes out with a mark on the hand. Then they say, oh, he has come back. It's been tried, it's been proven. People have that all the time. Hey. They do that all the time. Hallelujah. So the hidden man or the man in the inside of you is recognizable. So if when we die, I'll see Toya. When we get to heaven, I'll see Toya and Toya will see me. Ah, Bishop, what's that, Toya? Ah, high fives. Oh, you made it. Except that she won't have nobody. Because Bobby will be eaten by animals right here on earth. Yeah, my mind will not even come on the fact that she doesn't even have Bobby. Because that Bobby is not the thing. So if you're asking, are angels men or women? I don't know. No, they are beings. And so far, we've not heard any name of an angel that is feminine. It's Gabriel, Michael, and the other guy was called Lucifer, isn't it? So we don't know whether they are girl. Because if they are girl angels, they'll be somewhere. They'll be jealous and there'll be all kinds of things. They'll be fighting in heaven. Ah! That's it. It's me, man. So we don't know whether they are female angels. Maybe they are. Maybe when we go, we'll probably see them. But you know, so far nobody really sees a female. I saw a woman angel. I said, hey, are you sure it's a woman angel? Hallelujah. I hope we'll see some girls when we go to heaven. Amen. So remember that. Number two, I'm talking about a hidden man. I'm finishing very soon. On the day that you die, the man who has been hiding within you for many years will be revealed. On the day that you die, the man who has been hiding within you, the man or the woman who has been hiding within you for many years will be revealed. Yeah. So what is going to happen is that when you die, what actually happens is that you leave your body. Your body is just a tent or a house you are renting. That is why you should not be either impressed or unimpressed about somebody's nose or eyes. Because it's just something that, you know, I just live in East Lapenitan. So what, I'm a bad person? No. Living in East Lapenitan doesn't make me a bad person. Living in Bel-Air doesn't make you a better person. So having a nice face and me not having a nice face doesn't make us very different, though. Because it's you who is looking at a nice face, but God is not looking at faces. The Bible says God is a spirit. So God doesn't look at the house. You can't look at people's houses and say, oh, this is a very, very nice person. No, you go inside some rich people's house and you see, dogs will be available for you, cry. So it's not the house. We are renting houses. So when you say, oh, I don't like that guy, he's too short, it means your head is not working properly. Because the spirit of that person is not short. It's just a house he rented. He didn't know the best houses around. So he just built a small house. If I build a small house, does it mean that I am not, you don't like me? If you like build a tall house, I build a small house. We all have houses we live in. So that's why a Christian's mind should work very, very different. So the day when you die, you see that your hidden man will jump out of your body. Many people who have had near-death experiences discover that they left their bodies and then their bodies were in the hospital and then their loved ones were around them and they were crying and they were wailing and they were standing there and they were looking at them. They were wondering, what is this? What is happening? I wanted to talk to them, but they can't hear me. You are separated. It's only God who can separate the spirit from the body. The day you die, you discover that you are not just that short girl. You are not just that tall girl. You are not that tall boy. The day you die, you realize that you are separated from your body. And then now it's a matter of where you go. Where you go. You didn't decide to be Guyanese. But you have to decide to go to heaven or hell. You didn't choose your mother or your father. But you have to choose your father in the next world that you are going. You have to choose it here. Yeah, God will not blame you that you are Guyanese. But he will blame you that you didn't go to heaven. He will blame you that you didn't choose him. He will blame you that you refuse his salvation. He will blame you for that. Yeah. I mean, who would have chosen maybe Trump to be his father? Who knows? Maybe we're given the choice before we entered that which womb do you want to enter? Many of us would have chosen different wombs because we have come into some families and some groups that are some way. I tell you, I'm sure some of you, if you had a choice, you wouldn't come through the family you came through. How many agree with what I'm trying to say? Yeah, I've said that this family here, me like this family. So God, give me another family. Give me some other family than this family here where I come and there's enough problems. You didn't choose that. So you have to make the best out of it. But the next world, the responsibility lies on you. You have to choose a good place. If you don't choose a good place, you cannot blame anybody but yourself. Even if you blame yourself, you'll be dying and you'll be burning anyway. So nobody will care about you because you have lived a very foolish life. To the day you die, you realize that you will be separated from your earthly body, which fades. Yes. Number three. After death, the hidden man can no longer hide in the body, so it is forced to migrate to either heaven or hell. After death, yeah, the hidden man can no longer hide. Now he's hiding. The only time he gets time to enjoy himself is when you sleep. Then he travels. So you say, oh, I had a dream. I was in London. I was eating sausage, baked beans, English breakfast. Meanwhile, you are just lying down in your bed in Kitty. So it's when you sleep that a hidden man sometimes get a chance to just move around a bit. And because he carries your mind with him, you remember where he's going to. And where he's doing, whatever he's doing. Because the spirit and the soul are connected. Yeah, because the soul is where you have memory. Your memory is in your soul. Yeah, your mind is your soul. So soul and spirit. Sometimes they are even used interchangeably. Yeah, and I saw souls in heaven. It means that I saw people, I saw spirits in heaven. So you dream and you are somewhere, and then you remember, I had a nice dream. I was having a wedding. A lot of people came. You had a wedding. You were lying down sleeping. But you see, that's why we believe in even dreams a lot. Because dreams are things that we experience with our real person. So when you dream and you are dead, you are more concerned about dying physically. Oh, Bishop, pray for me. I had a dream and I was dead. It was a very bad dream. Why is it that you sleep and then you see something you are so concerned about? You are still alive. Are you not talking to me? Why are you concerned about something? Because the one who lives in us, we are very, very concerned about him. I had a dream and thought, rice. Is that, I was eating a lot of rice. What is it? Some people say if you see that, it was his money. Rice? Rice is money. When you see rice, it's blessings.
Blessings.
Rice.
Wedding is death.
Wedding is death.
Yeah, death is wedding.
Rice is Chinese restaurant. That's what I know. Rice means get ready. Maybe you're gonna eat rice this week. A kid's meal, something. I see. We are so concerned about the spirit man that anything that involves the spirit man, we are very, 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 very careful and worried about it. I had a dream and I was in an accident. When you wake up, you really feel, you feel that, you feel it. But you are not in an accident. You are lying right in your bed. Be happy. No, because the spirit man is a real, real person. You cannot get it out of your mind and out of your soul. Yeah. I've heard people talk about, hey, I had a dream and it was the end of the world. and it was fire and all of it can shake you. Yeah. But when you wake up, there's no fire. You say, oh, it was a dream. None of us say, oh, it was a dream. I have not come across people say, oh, don't worry, it was a dream. It was a dream. Your spirit man came to contact with something real. So you have to be able to understand and take note whether it is important or it's not important. The day, Isaiah, are you there? Isaiah, the day, the day you die, you see that there is no way out. You can no longer hide in the body. So it is forced to migrate to heaven or to hell. In Job chapter 21, verse 23, one dieth in his full strength, being wholly at ease and quiet. His breasts are full of milk, and his bones are moistened with marrow. And another dieth in bitterness of his soul, and never eateth with pleasure. 26 says, they shall lie down alike in the dust, and the worms shall cover them. It's like whether you are rich or you are poor, you will lie down in the same place alike. The body will be forced out. Milk in the breast. Moisture in the marrow. You'll be lying down fresh. That is why, I don't know if you've heard those stories. I don't know whether it happens here in Guyana, but there are some undertakers who sexist women who die and they are brought into the mortuary. Yeah. It happens here too. Yeah, wow. Please don't die. Hey. They will undertake you, I tell you. Hey, it cannot be normal, though. That when they take your dead body to the morgue, you look so normal that a guy says, hey, today is the day. Today is my day. I can't get this girl on the outside. They have brought the girl to me now. My Lord and my God. It's my time. Milk in the breast. Can you give me the scripture? Milk in the breast, moisture in the marrow. And bones are moistened with marrow. So everything still looks fresh. Normal. Yeah. You can't say, hey, Basma, what are you doing? You're gone. You've been forced out of your body. Yes. So watch it. Watch it. That's why you really have to do a pre-burial arrangement. Everybody must have a pre-burial arrangement. When I die, maybe you should keep me in the house for 24 hours before you take me out. Me want no undertaker to come and be touching me, Bobby, and things. You probably don't want them things. People are not people. Yeah. When people are afraid of dead people, some people work on dead people for money. You'll bath them. They'll do all kinds of things. I don't know what I would do if I was to bath dead people. Operate a funeral parlor. All you do is you just bath and dress them up. Some people do that. People like that, I wouldn't want them in my house. Yeah, no. I mean, all jokes aside, it's touching dead people for your life. I mean, please. Yeah, living on top of the parlor. You are eating. After you bath them, you are eating. Even as you are bathing them, you are drinking. You are eating chana and sour. Egba. And we're eating plantain chip. And they don't care. If we have a friend like that, you should be careful. you want to see Jumbi. That's why you have a friend like that. There's a guy, let me tell you this. There's a guy who used to work at the parlor, and he had been to several churches. Well, he came to a church one time. I think I prayed for him, and something must have happened to him, because anywhere he sees me, he will draw my attention. One day he even did something. I was very surprised. I was driving on Mandela. the guy came behind me with his hazard on. So I thought, you know, you only see hazard and somebody's dying or some. So I saw in my driving mirror, hazard, So I said, who is this? So I tried to even go to the side so that he can pass. Not knowing it's this guy. He just wanted to shake at me. I tell you, I've not seen him in a long time. He lives in East Ramfield. I don't know whether he's moved out. He came to the church once or twice, evening services. I prayed for him. I don't know what happened to him. But the guy, anywhere he sees me, you know what he told me? He told me that he has been to churches. And he used to play the keyboard. And he says that all the churches that he has been in, he will have to sleep with somebody in the choir. Yeah. So he told me that he doesn't want to come, he doesn't want to stay in this church. For the fear that he would do that same thing. That's what I'm saying. I don't know what, when I prayed for him, what happened to him. So he became afraid of me. The guy really respects me. I don't know what happened to him. For someone to put on a hazard with the horn and just say, "Hi, man of God." I was saying, "Oh God." To my surprise, the hazard was off. He just drove off very nicely and quietly. That's what makes me understand that something happened to him when I prayed for him, because he says he doesn't want to join the church. Because if he joins the church, he's afraid that what he did in those places will happen here. And I'm sure he's wondering that if it happens here, maybe he will die or something. And this is somebody who actually used to work at the parlor. So you don't know some of these connections. What a parlor probably has done to him, that he has some demons. Yes. So what? Yeah, when you're working, well, you don't have to. It's everything that gives you money that you do. There's this guy also. Every time you go to the cemetery, he's the one building the tombs and all of that. And that's like where he lives. Yeah. You live in a. Every day you're in the cemetery building tombs. Something will enter into you. The madman of Gadara used to be there because he had demons. Yeah. Do and build some house somewhere. Why have you taken upon yourself to build tombs? Contractor of tombs. Every time I've gone to the burying ground, I've seen this guy there. And he said, "Yes, yes, Pastor. Yes, Pastor." I said, "Hey, you." He said, "This is where you live." Yeah, and I'm sorry, he has some girlfriend that he's lying on all the time. I pray for you, girlfriend. Because he brings money, so you think everything is okay. The man works in the burying ground. Who in their right senses would take a man who works in the burying ground? Anita. Please, you go and thief. If you thief, I think it's probably better. Not the burying ground. At least I know you, Steve. Yeah. I tell you, your hidden man will be forced to migrate to either heaven or hell. Where is your hidden man going to go? Heaven or hell? That's a question to you this morning. If you are not sure, you see, let me chip in this as I close. When you make the decision about where your hidden man is going to go, it's not you make the decision and then you relax. Many of you misunderstand this concept. When you make the decision for your hidden man to now you accept Christ, that is just the beginning. That's why in the evenings I'm talking about war. I'm talking about the battle to maintain your faith until the end. You see, you can give your life to Christ today, but you can end up going to hell next year. Should I say it again? I said you can give your Christ to Jesus now as I'm going to, do the altar call. You can give your life to Christ today and cry and holler and whatever, but you can go to hell next month if you die. Because this is just the beginning. You have just entered into the kingdom. Now you have to be active in the kingdom. You have to secure everlasting life. Everlasting life is not something that you just get and you just sit down. No, you can lose your everlasting life. It is loose. You can lose it. You can lose it. So when you give your life to Christ, that is when the whole thing starts. The whole thing starts when you give your life to Christ. But there are many of us, we don't care. As long as we come to church, as long as we've given our life to Christ, we're okay. The rest is not so important to us. But mind you, if you get a land, that's not the end of it. You have to do something on the land. Anybody who has a land, except that our laws are not implemented. Laws are good. Because I think that there are some empty lands like the lands here that PNCR owns that they shouldn't own it anymore if they themselves are going to implement the law properly. They have the guts to write to me that I have a land and something has not happened on it, so I should come in for talk. I tore up the letter and I threw it in the garbage. I paid for the land. What is your problem? I don't owe. I didn't borrow money from you. It took me how many, 3-4 years to pay for my land. But the land is mine. Whether I'll defecate on it or poo on it, is that your problem? Look at this land here. Prince, you were born, you came to meet this land when you were born, isn't it? This one, they have not written to anybody to take this land. But me, the normal citizen who are forced to pay for it, you are coming to talk to me. You better try there. PNCR land right over there with the columns. Look at the columns. They are even breaking down. And when you go and weed it, then Voda Lawrence will come and tell you next time they'll bring police to you. Meanwhile, how can they take care of a country when they can't even take care of a land? They can't even build over there. Not even a toilet over there. Not even a toilet on a small land. You see, when we tell them they should sell it to us, they say they won't sell it to us. We'll go and clean them and park our cars there. They will see. Development. We are developing the place. Look at the bush. Why don't they take this land from them? I see, when you have a land like this, you have to do something on it. When you buy a house or you rent a house, you have to move in. So you give your life to Christ. That is just like getting a land. You have to do something. Either you're going to do a farm. Either you're going to build. You have to do something. Otherwise, one day, if you live in a proper country, they will come for the land. That is why in developed countries, you can't own a land. They don't sell lands. Yeah, you can own a house. And the land that the house is on is for the government. They don't give land. They don't have burying ground. They burn the people. They are so principled that they say, are we going to take a big piece of our country and put dead bodies there? For what? So the few people that are buried, that's it. If you really want to be buried, you have to pay a lot of money. Because they are not giving you a 6x6 forever for nothing. When they can build an apartment or a shopping mall there, yeah. You are dead, you are gone. We are so sentimental. We are so you have a tomb to go and paint every Mother's Day and every Father's Day. White people don't have time with that. Yeah, they burn it, they put the ashes in a bottle for you, you take it home. You can put it in your tea and drink it if you like. Again, don't come here again looking for no tomb to paint. We black people, that is why we can't control the cemetery. Look at how confused the cemetery is. I put a challenge. I think I should go on Facebook. A challenge for anybody who can make this burial ground into a better place. Nobody. Cemetery challenge. They should come up. PPP, TTT, WWW, whoever. They should come with them. Come and see. They can't. That cemetery there, all they do is that they just clean the front part. They can't manage it. And you'll be swimming. White people who have such a big land and is there, you'll be surprised. They'll turn it into a shopping mall. And no jumbie will be there. There won't be no jumbie. That's why they don't believe in God. If we go and build an apartment there, someone says, no, me going there. It was used to be burying ground. Me going there. Even to the fact, we say there's some trees that are Dutch trees. Dutch trees? Have you seen a human being in a tree before? Because jumbies have moved inside. It's like, you can't cut this tree. Dutch house. We believe in them things, though. Yeah, those things don't exist in a developed country. The white man does not believe in ghosts, does not believe in anything. They don't even believe in devils. You can ask Tony, he'll tell you. They don't believe in devils. When you see Tony sitting in a church, it tells you the type of person he is. You don't even understand. Yeah, believe in God. To believe in God means that you believe in something more than your ability. White people, they can do almost anything, so they don't believe in any supernatural being. They can go to the moon. You know what? Yeah. They can't do. White people, when there's a problem, they don't sit down and pray. Oh, Lord God, Lord, help me. Yeah, he'll find a solution. Yeah, we will sit down and say, oh, Lord, help me. I'm looking for someone who going to lend me some money. White people don't live like that. That's that many of them don't respect us black people. It's true. It's true. Why should I respect you when you are just sitting down doing nothing and you want to do well? And you say that you have brains. You can't have brains, man. You can't have brains. You and me are not the same. When I can use my brains and you can't use your brain. Means that there's no brain. It's likely that there's no brain. Always begging, please. Loan, IDB, World Bank, IMF. IMF is the white people. Yeah. We can't do anything for ourselves. We are like children. When they look at us, they laugh at us. You as a white man, what do you think about black people? They say, oh, I'm not sure whether you want to hear what I have to say. Yes, I met a Dutch guy at the Stelling, going to Suriname. He asked me, what are all these people working here for? Because when you look at, by the time you drive into the inside the Stelling, the number of people that you pass through, the white man asked, what are all these people doing here? He said, they can automate the system and just have only two people working here. Yeah. But you see, everybody got to get a back pass. I got to get somebody something for do. I got to give you something for do. I got to give you some work. I'll give you something, employ something. And they say, oh, unemployment. Yeah, unemployment. Give people work to weed the whole city. We can employ 2,000 people to weed the city all the time. Pastor Keith, the cemetery there, I don't know who wants to go take me on that challenge. Ranger, Granger, whatever. Ask them. Tell them your bishop is throwing a cemetery challenge. I will even do a simple fence. A simple concrete fence to even just cover and hide the cemetery. Just that. So on the road and then on the sides, just demarcate the cemetery. It should be within four walls. So when I drive there, I don't see tombs that are broken, seeing skulls, seeing swimming dead people. Please. I may easily get bad dreams. Please help me. So, even that simple thing. Are we not mobile? We are mobile people. It's sad. It's just concrete and blocks. That's why the bottom line is that the people, they don't care about us. That's the bottom line. Because if you care, you rise up and do something. I said, if you care, you rise up. If you really, really care, you do something. Heaven or hell? That one is not governmental. It's not city council. That one is you. So if the cemetery cannot be fixed, that is those who are in charge. But if you go to heaven or hell, that one is not mayor. That one is not ranger. It's not granger. It's not Jadil. It's not F. Anali. It's not all these people, Patterson, GCOM people. It's not none of these people. It's you. What is the verdict going to be? Heaven or hell? Stand to your feet, please. Hallelujah. Bow down your heads with me, please. You are here this morning, you are not saved. Let's do it quickly. You want to give your life to Jesus Christ. If your hidden man is forced out of your body when you die, is he going to go to heaven or hell? That decision is yours this morning. You want to say, Bishop, please pray with me. I want to go to heaven when I die. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want the everlasting life God has promised and has made ready through the death of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. If you're here like that, I want to pray with you. Every eye closed, every head bowed.
Bishop, please pray with me. Just lift up your right hand wherever you are. I want to pray with you. Please pray with me. I'm not saved. I'm not born again. If I die right now, I'm not sure whether I'll go to heaven or hell. I just want to be sure before I leave the service tonight, this morning. If you're here like that, your right hand. I want to pray with you. Your right hand. Every eye closed. Don't talk to anybody. Think about yourself. You may have come with a friend, but when you die, you don't die with a friend. You die alone. Even husband and wife don't die on the same day. Hardly do you see a husband and wife die on the same time, in the same day, at the same moment. Bishop, please pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to give my life to God. Please help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. I want this salvation. I want heaven. I don't want to go to hell. You are here like that. Just your right hand up high so I can pray with you. Bishop, my right hand is up. If you are here like that, just your right hand. I want to pray with you. Your right hand. Your right hand. Pastor, please. I don't want to leave the service and go to hell. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. Don't be shy. Don't be afraid. If you are not sure, if you've never done it before, it is better you do it now and now. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. God bless you. I see that hand. I want to ask you, if you lifted up your hand, to please come to me. I want to pray with you. Please walk to me. God bless you, gentlemen. Come. Come for them as they come. I see two guys coming. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, come for them. Bless you, my friend. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, there's another man coming. God bless you. God bless you. Bless you, sir. Give your life to Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Give your life to Jesus. It's not too late. It's not too late. Until you die, it's not too late. Come right now. Give your life to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus. Let's pray. Those in front, please repeat this prayer after me. Church, let's join in as we pray together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe Jesus died for me. And I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. I open my heart and I receive Jesus to come into my heart, to come into my life. From this moment forward, I confess and I declare that Jesus is my Savior. And I will follow Jesus. I will serve Jesus. That Jesus is my Lord. That I'm saved. I am born again. My name is in the book of life. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.